I'd like to wish everyone a good morning. I am so thankful to be here. I have the highest love and respect for this church. I live in Memphis, Tennessee now, but I grew up here in Dallas attending the Marcellus Avenue Church of Christ. And I'm always very careful to say that because my mother, she goes with me traveling, and she's actually here with me today. Wave your hand, mother. There she is. Oh, the hardest working woman in show business. She put it with me for a long time, and she likes to tell people he's not from Memphis, he's from Dallas. Memphis is just where he stay. And so I grew up in, at the Marcellus Avenue Church of Christ, and I came here my childhood to the Bible Bowls, and you know, Greenville would always walk away with a trophy, so congratulations to the young people. I'm glad that not much has changed. I am indebted to the invitation. I'm thankful to Brother Shelton Gibbs and Brother John Bradshaw, who has shown me so much kindness, and very, very indebted to Jimmy Travis, who has rolled out the red carpet for me and for my family. I'm just so thankful that that I have had this invitation. I'd like to take a moment to welcome our visitors back home at Holmes Road. I always make it a point to welcome our visitors, and I like to say it this way. We hope that you love this church as much as we do. Amen. And in the event that you are sitting in your pew and you look to your left or to your right and you see somebody who just frowning and who just ain't feeling it, do not be alarmed. They too are visitors. It's my hope that as a visitor myself, that if you are visiting with the Greenville Church today, that you feel as welcomed here as I feel right now. Today's Youth Sunday, and Youth Sunday is so important because our youth are the future. Our youth, they are those who are going to carry this thing on. But in addition to our youth being the future, they are also the present. Our youth can make a difference today. Our young people are relevant today. Our young people are significant today, right now. And so I'm thankful and privileged to be here with you on such a very special occasion as Youth Sunday. Today, we'll be talking about idolatry. What is idolatry? How do we find ourselves in this mess? And how exactly can we get out of it? What is the effect of idolatry on our everyday life? Today, we'll look at idolatry through a walk in Israelite history, trying to ascertain what they did and what we can learn from those lessons. And so we'll start at 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 1. Then we'll go to 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 25. And then finally, we'll look at 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 20. Again, that's 1 Kings 11, 1 and following. 1 Kings 12, 25 and following. And then finally, 1 Kings 18, 20 and following. We know that once upon a time, the nation of Israel was a united monarchy, one whole kingdom that was united. The first king was a man by the name of Saul, a man of questionable integrity. After Saul would come our favorite king, David, who was known for his rumble with the giant Goliath. David was the apple of God's eye. He sought to build the temple for the Lord because after David had conquered so many lands where peace lay on either side of Israel, he living in a grand palace, he said, I live in splendor, whereas the presence of the Lord is stuck in the ruins and the torn pieces of the tabernacle that lay somewhere in the basement of Israel. And so then he attempts to construct the temple where God's name and his presence can dwell here on earth permanently. Of course, because David had so much blood on his hands, it was not possible for him to complete the work. And so then his son Solomon rises to power. And when Solomon rises to power, he completes the temple. Solomon asks for wisdom. And he became the wisest in the land. But Solomon also had a vice. He loved not only the one W word, wisdom, but also the other W word, women. And so Solomon would get into trouble with these women. And that's where we find ourselves here. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 and following, the Bible in the ESV version reads like this. Now King Solomon loved many foreign wives, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not wholly follow the Lord as David his father had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites, on the mountain east of Jerusalem. And so he did for all his foreign wives who made offerings and sacrifices to their gods. Solomon runs into trouble because Solomon loves wisdom, but he loves women too. And so here he is with 700 wives and 300 concubines. You know how hard it is to please one woman. And this brother got 700 full-time wives and 300 part-time ones. And so they are coming from all these different nations. And when they come from these different nations, they have their own gods. And so it's difficult to tell a woman you love no. She throw that hair on the one shoulder and she shimmy up to you. Hey, baby, I need this kind of God. And then you say, no, you know, God don't even get down like that. I can't do that. I can't do that. Then another one come, throw the other hair on the other shoulder, shimmy up to you and say, I really want this God. It's hard to tell somebody you love living with you. No. And so because of the people that were around him, because of his peers, the women who he married, he was led into idolatry. And that leads us to key concept number one. Our own pleasure and peers lead us into idolatry. Who we hang with, who we running with, they can influence us negatively, and they can lead us into worshiping false gods. We worship all kinds of false gods. We worship the false god of popularity. We worship the false god of clothing. We worship the false god of money. We worship the false god of power. Do you know how pervasive power is? Do you know power is what we're really after? All those other things. When we worship education, when we worship money, when we worship the things we get, the clout, when we worship those things, we're really wanting influence over others, power, the realization that we are bigger and stronger than someone else. That's what's happening in corporate America. You do know that's what's happening in the school system. You do know that that is what's happening on Capitol Hill. You do know that's what's happening at your cafeteria table with your friends. Power hungry. And when you worship it, we become worshipers of idols. And so it's our own pleasure. And it's the people that we surround ourselves with that usher us and influence us into worshiping gods that are not real. Are you tired of your face sagging with age? Are you tired of looking unfresh? Do people often mistake you to be 20 years older than you are? Well, it was that way for me until I started using Dr. Lee's home Botox injections. Now, this is Botox made fun, quick, and easy. If you are familiar with diabetic blood sugar testing procedures, then Dr. Lee's product would be easy to use. You just take the pre-filled syringe and gently stab it into the part of your face with the most wrinkles. Vladimir, what do you think? Ah, I'm 90 years old. I have a mini wrinkle. But now, my face like a baby bottom. I'm blind in right eye, but I look like Kanye West. Dr. Lee's home Botox injection should not be generally used by children or people with a liver. Side effects may include scarring, redness, puffiness, itchiness, dizziness, headache-ness, abdominal pain, nausea, darkening of the skin, lightening of the skin, really, really bad dreams, blotchiness, a lowered blood count, heart attack, stroke, severe liver damage, gout, and in some cases, depression. If side effects persist, discontinue use and consult your physician. Dr. Lee's home Botox injection. Botox made quick, fun, and easy. Thanks, Dr. Lee. And so we know that the kingdom of Israel was a united monarchy, but the kingdom would eventually split. David was the warrior king who brought peace to Israel. Under his son Solomon's reign, Israel became rich, but Solomon loved another W word that sometimes canceled out the first W. His love for women made him unwise. And so because of this, he went astray. It's difficult to please many, 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 many peers, many wives, the 700 full-time ones and the 300 part-time ones. It's hard to keep all of them in the same house. And so David had to build palace and palace and palace. And no one knew just how extravagant Solomon's spending was than Jeroboam. Jeroboam, who was the superintendent over the tribesmen for government building projects in Israel. He was familiar with what Solomon would do to build all these edifices for his women. The prophet appears to Jeroboam and prophesies to him that the kingdom would split and Solomon would fall from power because of his sin. But of course, Rehoboam was Solomon's son. And so there became a controversy, whereas Jeroboam had received the revelation that the kingdom was to split. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. And so there became this conflict in Israel between Jeroboam with a J and Rehoboam with an R over what else but taxes. You say, oh, you're going to build all these buildings, these castles, these palaces for you and your personal use, Solomon. Well, I got one question. Who going to pay for that? I'm going to tell you who's going to pay for it. Us, me and you, through taxes. And so then this controversy would break out. And as a result of that controversy, the united monarchy would become split with a group of tribes in the north and then another group in the south. Most of the tribes would maintain the northern region, and so they would keep the name Israel, whereas a much smaller number of the tribes would maintain power in the south, the largest being the tribe of Judah, which is why the southern kingdom would be referred to as Judah in the Old Testament and Judea by the time the New Testament begins. Jeroboam started off good. We know that Jeroboam had received the revelation from God, but when he became king of the north, things changed. He became power hungry and brought in idols. In 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 25, the Bible says this: Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. And he went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now the kingdom will turn back to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn again to their Lord, to Rehoboam, king of Judah. and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So the king took counsel and made two calves of gold. And he said to the people, you have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Behold, your gods, O Israel, who brought you up and out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Then this thing became a sin, for the people went as far as Dan to be before one. He also made temples on the high places and appointed priests from among all the people who were not of the Levites. And Jeroboam appointed a feast on the 15th day of the eighth month, like the feast that was in Judah. And he offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places that he had made. He went up to the altar that he had made in Bethel on the 15th day in the eighth month, in the month that he had devised from his own heart. And he instituted a feast for the people of Israel and went up to the altar to make offerings. You see, Jeroboam was searching for power and prestige, whereas he first received the revelation from God. Now that he's king in the north, he searches for power. He searches for prestige. You know, the only approved place to worship, to build a temple according to the law of God, is in Jerusalem. It just so happens that Jeroboam is king in the north, and Jerusalem is where? Down south. And so he wants to maintain power. He doesn't want his people in the north going down to the south and feeling all friendly. You know how it is with religious folk who ain't seen each other in a long time. Hey, baby, how you doing? You putting on some weight. She feeding you good, ain't she? You know how it is with a homecoming. They gonna go down there to Jerusalem and get hooked. Wish that things were like they were back in the day. You know how it is back in the day. They gonna go down into the temple, step into the foyer, and you can smell chicken. Oh, well, you smell that chicken. Ain't nothing like folks getting together at homecoming. You can smell the chicken and the greens from the parking lot. You don't want people getting together in the north and the south, lest they wish for something that was. And you know how people are with things that were. Well, I remember Solomon. That's my king right there. You all remember back in the day when we had the temple. I remember. You know, church folks, yeah. But now I don't know what Jeroboam up there doing. I don't really know what Rehoboam doing either, but at least he in the temple now. And so then Jeroboam, in an effort to maintain power, he goes against God's law, and he just makes temples and false gods right here in the north. And so that leads us to key concept number two. Powerful people bamboozle us into idolatry. Powerful people bamboozle us into idolatry. Jeroboam is a king, and somewhere in his palace, he is leading a whole nation of people into idolatry. People in powerful places bamboozle us into idolatry. Let's speak a moment on your Louis Vuitton purse. Your Vuitton was put together for 50 cents in some sweatshop somewhere. And then they sold it to us for $2,000 on sale. Because somewhere, somebody is bamboozling us into worshiping the attention we get from nice things, worshiping the validation that we get from nice things, worshiping the sense of self that is supposed to be obtained through the Lord, but instead we get it through purses and houses and cars and clothes. Someone in a powerful place who don't even wear the product that we buy that's overpriced are bamboozling us into worshiping a God that ain't real. Well, what you saying, B? We can't have nice things? I didn't say that. You said that. I didn't say that. There's a difference between you having nice things and nice things having you. And sometimes, no matter how much we fake it, we can't always tell the difference. What I'm saying is, people in powerful places, just like Jeroboam, sitting at the top of a nation, leading his people, unsuspected as they were, into idolatry. Key concept number two, it's powerful people who lead us into idolatry. Rialzo is the newest weight loss and muscle building supplement. Why don't you shed those pounds and live a happier, leaner life today? Why don't you gain that muscle so everyone can stop and stare at you and wish that they were you for just 35 easy payments of $2,300? You can have the greatest product known to man. Hey, Sue, how do you like Rialzo?
Well, I used to be a size 20. And just 3 months later, I'm a size zero. And even though I have a hard time sitting upright, I do it all over again.
Thanks, Rialzo. Hey, Jim, how do you like using Rialzo?
Well, I used to be 120 pounds of skin and bones. But now, I've got muscles the size of basketballs. And even though I have contracted rabies, I've got muscles the size of basketballs. Thanks, Rialzo. You should not use Rialzo while operating a vehicle or while not operating a vehicle. Side effects may include dizziness, heavy menstrual cycles, abdominal pain, headache, muscle spasms, knee jerks, a blue tint to one's vision, screaming, heart attack, stroke, fatigue, nausea, depression, suicidal thoughts, hallucination, diabetes, arthritis, and in some cases, death. If side effects persist, discontinue use and consult your physician. And if death occurs, by all means, discontinue use. For just 35 easy payments of $2,300, you can have the greatest product known to man. Thanks, Rialzo. And so, under the King Jeroboam, the North would systematically be led into idolatry away from God. Under Jeroboam's reign, they would fall into an idolatry that they would never return from. After him, Nadab would reign. After Nadab, Baasha would reign. After him, Elah. After him, Zimri. After him, Omri. And then after Omri, King Ahab, the worst king that Israel had ever known. It was Ahab who married the awful Sidonian woman named Jezebel. It was this pagan woman who would lead the Israelites into a brand new idolatry with a powerful, evil, malevolent deity by the name of Baal. It was the prophet Elijah who God raised up to combat the influence that Jezebel and Ahab had on the nation. And so Elijah, in a confrontation with the prophets of Baal, he says, "Meet me on the mountain and we will go toe-to-toe to see which God is real, Jehovah or Baal." And that's where we find ourselves in 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning at verse number 20. The Bible says this: "So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, 'How long will you go limping between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him.' And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I only am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. And you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord,
And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people answered, it is well spoken. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many, and call upon the name of your God, but put no fire to it. And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, oh, Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice. No one answered, and no one paid attention. You know how it is. Elijah says, let's have a duel. You meet me on Mount Carmel, and you take a sacrifice, and I'll take a sacrifice. You call your God, and I'll call mine. And whichever one sends fire first, he's the real God. And so then, of course, the prophets of Baal, 450 men, they begin to call out, oh, Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And so then, you know, Elijah, he petty. Elijah said, well, maybe he's thinking and meditating. Scream louder. You know what? Maybe he's on the toilet. That's what it means when it says relieving himself. Maybe he's just in the bathroom. He says, oh, you know what? You know, maybe he left and he's on vacation. And so, of course, this was insulting to the prophets. And so, as was their custom, they began to dance around the altar. Oh, Baal, oh, Baal, oh, Baal. And then they took swords and lances, and then they cut themselves, and the blood started to run. And that leads us to key concept number three. We always give more to the idol than the idol gives to us. Always. Every time. You know, that's what pagan idols always required, is your own blood. But that's not the type of God that we serve. The type of God we serve, he dies for us before we die. But the pagan gods are different. They require death up front. And so that's why they cut themselves, to show the God, I'm for real. Look at what I've done. I'm for real. Bless me. And that's what we do. We give everything to the idol, but the idol gives us nothing in return. It's like an ungrateful woman or a relationship you're in with a low-down, lazy man who won't do nothing. You just give and you give and you give and nothing comes back to you. Nothing is shown in return. That's what idols are. We give our life for idols, but they give us nothing in return but sickness. You know, idols, they may feel good for the moment. Worshiping all those idols, the pleasure, the money, oh yeah, the attention, the prestige, the validation, the education, right. It may feel good now, but they have very dangerous side effects. No, they cause sickness. Fathers leaving their children, side effects. Children having children, side effects. The sin of homosexuality that's rampant and now ripe, or even worse, the fact that in the church, people who struggle with it, they can't even be honest about it. Side effects. Teen suicide. In 2019, there are more people who are teenagers killing themselves than ever before in American history. Side effects.
school districts who can't educate children. It's like a volleyball team that can't volley. Side effects. There are side effects to worshiping these false gods. There are side effects. Idols, they are dangerous products, making promises that they can never keep. Oh, idols, they just like extreme hair growth for men. Idols, just like Dr. Lee's home Botox injection. Idols, just like Rialzo weight loss and muscle supplement. Making all these promises. Oh, you want to get out your depression? Worship me. You want to get out your anxiety by tomorrow? Do this. You want to make a little more money so people will think better of you? Do that. You want to spend more on hair, more on clothes, more on waist snatching? Here, do this. This is what you can really get. And by this time tomorrow, you'll feel different. You will be different. But they make these promises, but they only come up empty and make us sick. They are false prophets, evil, and we are negatively affected by them at every turn. We can even see how the nation of Israel were, how they did this idol thing, and for same reasons, thousands of years later, here we are in the same situation. Why do we worship idols? What happens when we do? Key concept number one, it's our own pleasure and the peers we have that lead us into idolatry. Key concept number two, powerful people in high places, they coax and influence us into worshiping false gods. And then key concept number three, we always give more to the idol than they give to us. We will sacrifice our life and have nothing to show for it. And we don't always understand the nature of idols. When we talk about idols, we often think this, okay? Well, when you worship money, we think that you put money on a high shelf in your house and you kneel down and worship paper and coins. That is not idolatry according to the biblical definition. Idolatry is not that. An idol is a physical thing, and the physical thing is not what you're worshiping. In Exodus 32, just like with Jeroboam here in 1 Kings 12, whenever this happens, this isn't the calf we're worshiping. The golden calf in Exodus 32, and then the two that Jeroboam erected, they're not literally worshiping golden calves. In the scripture, in the ancient world, even in other religions in the ancient Mediterranean world, an idol is a physical thing that acts as a doorway to a spiritual thing. And so when you have an idol, that thing is acting as something physical, and it's a doorway. So when you use it, it's a doorway. You're on one side of the doorway, but on the other side of the doorway is a spiritual being, an evil spirit that is vindictive and malevolent. And when you use the idol, the spirit opens the door and slides into your life. And do you know how hard it is to get a spirit out of your life once it snuck through the door? See, that's why we talk about things like sex. That's just one experience. One example is sex before marriage. See, in this world where everything is so oversexed, we think that I could just have it and just stop. We think, oh no, I could just get busy and then find a wife, get busy, find a husband, and now I'm good. It does not work that way. Do you know that sex is so pervasive, it becomes an idol. It becomes a physical thing that acts as a doorway to an evil, malevolent spirit that is vindictive and out to get you. That's the business with pornography. Do you know that the pornography that you watch at 13 years old will affect your marriage 20 years from now for 40 years in. If you can make it that long, that's what it is. You are opening a door. And when you open the door because you worship the physical thing, which is the literal idol, then in comes this evil thing. And when it sneaks into your life, you know how hard it is to get an evil spirit out of your life once you've opened up the door through the idol? You may not believe me, but it says it right here in the Bible. Here's an example in Acts chapter 16. Whenever Paul and Luke and their entourage reach Philippi, the Bible says in Acts 16, Luke is speaking. He says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who had brought her masters much profit by soothsaying, by fortune telling. The Bible does not say that she couldn't tell the future. We assume that. That's not what the scripture says. You remember when Samuel went to the soothsayer? The Bible said he was rebuked for going. Not that when he went, it wasn't real. The Bible says they went, Saul went, even though Samuel said not to. Saul goes to the soothsayer to try to see what's happening, and the soothsayer has a spiritual connection, but it's a spiritual connection that they get from the other side. There is something on the other side of the things that we worship, and that thing is a doorway. So when we worship that thing, we are letting into our lives these evil, malevolent spirits, idols, kill you. They kill you. They make promises, but they are dangerous. And we think, oh, I can just stop anytime. Not so. Once you let in an intruder, like an evil spirit that comes to you through the idol, it is difficult to get it out. You'll be dealing with that spirit for the next 60 years because it has these side effects. It has these awful things that make you want to kill your spirit, that make you want to kill yourself, that you can't go on, and you don't know what's going on in your life. You try to fix the side effects of one idol with the side effects of another idol, just leaving more and more side effects. You can't build good relationships, side effect. But this is the thing. If you find that side effect, why don't you consult your physician? You can't work with others well. Side effect, discontinue use, and consult your physician. You don't feel safe no matter what happens. Side effect, discontinue use, and consult your physician. You struggle with self-esteem. Side effect, discontinue use, and consult your physician. You have trust for no one. Side effect, discontinue use, and consult your physician. You are anxious and powerless. Discontinue use and consult your physician. You are jealous of others, always trying to keep up with the Joneses and the Kardashians. Why don't you discontinue use and consult your physician? You are alone and angry. Discontinue use and consult your physician. You feel power and pressure from every side. Discontinue use and consult your physician. This is exactly what Matthew meant. Whenever Jesus was speaking and reaching the people, it says this in Matthew 9, 11 and following. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and with the sinners? And when he, Jesus, heard it, he said, those who are well have no need for the physician, but those who are sick. So if you are under the sound of my voice and you experience side effects from worshiping idols, why don't you discontinue use and consult your physician? Idols making false promises they can never keep. But a God who makes promises that are new every morning. The type of promise that never expires. Because by this time tomorrow, it'll be replaced with a new one. Someone here today needs to respond to this invitation. Someone here today is dealing with idols. Whether you're 10 years old or 100, you're dealing with idols. If you're not put on Christ, I hope that in this message you've heard something that has led you to believe in Jesus. If it's something that you've heard that roused up belief, now is the time to change your life. You have to make a decision that what I've been doing, what you've been doing, ain't working. So you're gonna have to backtrack and turn and go another direction in your life toward Christ and away from the world, away from the idols. You're gonna have to repent so that you can receive this new life. When you hear this song, these pews at the front will wait on you, and we'll ask you the same question that we were all asked. that has brought death to many throughout the 2,000 years since Christ, but that will bring life to you. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And by that confession that's good, we'll baptize you according to the scriptures. According to Acts 2 and 38, you will receive both forgiveness of your sins and the Holy Spirit living inside you. Some of us may need other types of prayers. This invitation is for you. Some of us are deep in idols. Some of us are worshiping all kinds of things. And you're experiencing all kinds of side effects from what you let through that door. You need to come down here. In the event that you don't want to come down here because, oh, that's too much work, I'm embarrassed, stay right there. Don't get up. Stay right there. And do it in your seat. For some of us, it's better to do it here. But if you're not going to do it here, don't walk out not doing it. Just say, no, I got some side effects. Let me right now say to God, I'm sorry. Please help me to shut these doors and get with somebody in this church with the spirit that you trust that can help you shut, lock, and drywall that thing up. We have experienced so many side effects of hurt, anguish, pain, and upheaval. But it's my prayer that if ever the side effects become too much, that we remember there's always help above. That if ever the side effects kill us, hurt us, bring us down, do remember, you can always discontinue use and consult your physician. As we together stand and sing a song of encouragement.
There's a fountain of free tears for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste to it rings. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above. And he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you. Thirsty soul, hear the word.